I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Amplify, our second hour, on a kind of a special based on one theme, although the books that the authors that I interview each week are basically around a theme, but there are many subheadings on this case. It's just we're talking about Mother's Day, and I was glad to have Bishop Zubik here during the first hour of the program, so that it's not just my thoughts that you hear, but the thoughts of others, much like Pope Francis said, a society without mothers would be dehumanized society. For mothers are always, even in the worst moments, and mothers have their moments too, as our fathers, and we certainly have ours towards our parents at times. For mothers are always, even in their worst moments, witnesses of tenderness, dedication, and moral strength. Dearest mothers, thank you. Thank you for what you are in your family and for what you give to the church and the world. And one more quote from Alice Van Hildebrand. A woman by her very nature is maternal. For every woman, whether married or unmarried, is called upon to be a biological, psychological, or spiritual mother. She knows intuitively that to give, to nurture, to care for others, to suffer with them and for them, and we just talked about that at the end of the first hour, is infinitely more valuable in God's sight than to conquer nations and to fly to the moon. We could really believe that. Is infinitely more valuable in God's sight than to conquer nations and fly to the moon. All that a mother can truly do for us. And it's certainly true, I think, in the sense of who of us really understands what's going on in the world today. What's going on in your relationship with God today? We believe God's working in the world, but we also know that often it's beyond our ability to understand. And I wish I could think about it now, but there is a quote that I've used before. Someone has observed that each life is like a mystery, is unique, but the part I want to get to is that it's a cosmic story whispered only once. Your story and my story is whispered only once, and all that is left is for us to live it. You come to know your story, the story God has for you, the plan God has for you, that our mother begins to lead us, to help us to understand that plan. And all we have to do is live it. And so, are you living your life to the full? Are you living your life the way your mother wanted you to live it in her best days? Do you believe that life's greatest adventures take place in the heart? in that relationship between you and your mother. Not always good, excuse me, but the greatest adventures take place in the heart. And that gets down to the whole thing as we begin to see how much science is developing, that the whole universe is somehow powered by love. We speak of it in terms of energy. Everything is energy. But that energy is love, ultimately. And so we continue to live with so much mystery. And consequently, as we're experiencing now, misunderstanding. Our minds cannot always grasp the other side of mystery, but Jesus teaches us, as I read in that first passage from John's letter and gospel at the beginning of the program, Jesus teaches us that love is a way of understanding and knowing. So we tend to think of love as a relationship, but love is much more than that. It's an incredible power. It's a part of God's life that is shared with us. And that love can do so much. Think about what love has done for you in your life and what you've done with the power of love for the lives of others. It teaches us that love is a way of understanding and knowing. And so getting back to that passage from the letter of John, the words about the importance and power of love are, they're among Jesus' last words. We have to know that. It's the 15th chapter of John's gospel, where we're beginning to reach the Last Supper. And Jesus says, "Remain in my love." And he's saying it for a purpose in that moment. Remain in my love so that your joy will be full. Love one another as I love you. It was I who chose you. I command you to love one another. And Jesus was saying that knowing just what his disciples, his followers, were about to experience. And he can say it to all of us because he knows what we're going to experience, what we're experiencing right now. We have to remain in his love. And that comes through the power of love. And so true love has no choice but to give itself away. It's not something that we tend to give a great deal of attention to, but don't do anything with. And so open your mind and your heart and your soul to the presence of God's love within you. And if you do that, you're going to experience joy like you've never experienced it before. And not just experience it for yourself, you're going to experience it for others. Now, I started off this program in the first hour saying that I had these stories, faith and imagination stories, that I, as you know, tell at the beginning of the program. A friend of mine, Connie Valenti, writes them, have over 1,000. I've told you this many, many times. And so I thought when I was going to do this program tonight that I would just go through all those stories, and wherever I saw Mary's name pop up, I would, and that's over 1,000 stories, I would look at it and see if it might be one that I wanted to use. So I probably selected the top 40 because I counted during the break that there are 40 of them, and I think I've told one so far. So I'm not getting too far there. But let me tell one of those stories. And this one was titled, "Jesus Worries About His Mother." Can we imagine that because of the great love, so much love that Jesus experienced with Joseph and Mary, that he would worry about her? If he could see the problems were coming to him, if he knew he was about to face his death, he would certainly worry about his mother. Story of faith and imagination. It had been a very long and tiring day for Jesus and his followers. Many people had come to him, hoping to be healed in body or mind. Some came only to see the man called Jesus of Nazareth, the Master, the Healer. When night had fallen, Jesus sat with his small band of friends, including Peter, Andrew, and John. They all seemed to be lost in thought. When Jesus got up slowly and began to walk away, no one saw it. The tears fell from his eyes. Only nature heard the sob that escaped from his throat. He was feeling lonely and longed to see his mother. As he walked, he noticed a tiny pulsating light near the trees. As he drew closer to it, the light grew brighter. John asked, "Who comes? Who has the light?" No one answered. There was no sound. And so Jesus asked again, "Who comes?" There was a response this time. It sounded like a voice within a voice and yet not a voice. Time seemed to stand still for a while before the voice was heard again saying, "Do not be sorrowful, my son. I know you miss your earthly family. Your mother pines too, for she worries about you so much. Be strengthened, my son, for you have much to do in my name." The light continued to shine, but the voice said nothing more. Jesus turned and walked back to a small group of men who were sleeping around the fire. He lay down and thought about his mother. He was worried about her because he knew how difficult it was for her to be living in his hometown. People who did not believe in him mocked and scorned her. They would say, "What can you expect from a carpenter's son, a healer?" Those kinds of accusations are going on this very day. People did not believe in him, and so they mocked and scorned her. They would say, "What can you expect from a carpenter's son, a healer?" Jesus knew, however, that his mother would only smile and respond, "From a weed can come a flower." Then she would turn and walk away without saying anything else. Jesus looked up at the sky and prayed that one day he might see his mother in the light of the sun and that others might also. A story of faith and imagination. Yes, we worry about our mothers. Concern, we have reason to, but that concern is truly an expression of our love when it comes down to it, the love that we have for them. And the two of them, after Joseph had died, certainly had to depend on one another. This is a story about, titled, "Jesus and Mary Think About One Another." Jesus and Mary walked together, each lost in thought. It had been a beautiful, meaningful ceremony. Mary stopped, turned, and said to her son, "I was very pleased that you came with me. Since your father's death, I have felt lonely when I must be among my friends." Then Mary added quickly, "It is not that I do not enjoy their company, but family is so important when you celebrate the joy of marriage." Jesus nodded and said, "You seem to enjoy the food." She nodded again and said, I was so pleased when they thanked those who had baked the bread and prepared the rest of the meal. They continued to walk, and Jesus said, "The gift of life has many mysteries. What a beautiful gift the Father has given to us in the food in the fields. We can watch a seed grow to the fullness of life, a tiny seed that will bring pleasure to those who plant and care for it, for those who reap it, and those who prepare it to be eaten." Mary looked down at her hands and said, "For years these hands have baked bread, and each time I felt close to the Heavenly Father. I always try to put in love, and yes, even hope, that those who eat it will grow both physically and spiritually and be filled with the love of our Creator." Jesus put his arms around his mother, held her close, and said, "And each day I thank the Father for you, who gave me life upon this earth. Like the seed that grows in the field, I too will bring life and gifts to many." So this is a story where it seems like they've just come from a marriage, and this may have been the marriage of Jesus' first miracle. We can't be sure of that. The wedding feast at Cana, and how he multiplied the wine. And here she's speaking about food and how we can give love to all of that food. One final story for the next break. Mary held the memory of Jesus in her arms as she did when he was first born. As a mother, she needed to do this because her son was dead now and she could hold him in no other way. She tried to drown from her memory the cries of the crowd that had screamed for his crucifixion with the remembered cries of a hungry child waiting to be fed, but she wasn't very successful. The cries that she had released as she gave birth to her son seemed lost somewhere among the cries spoken out as she stood beneath his cross, not ready to give him back yet, certainly not in this manner. In birth, he had been covered with her blood, in death, with his own. In both birth and death, her tears had washed blood from his body. Who could ever imagine, she thought, who could ever imagine that love would lead him to a cross? Who could ever imagine that love would be nailed to a cross? Today was his birthday. That's why she's remembering. Today was his birthday, and she wondered if she would live to see his next, and if anyone would remember him anymore by then. It was love that had caused her son's death, and love would soon cause hers, she believed, for she could feel her heart breaking so much because she wanted to be with him again. There's so many people we want to be with. Hopefully included among them will be Jesus. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify. Had so much a plan to do, didn't happen, but that's the way life is. But I was thinking during the break about the concept of mystery. If anyone asks me what is the aspect of life that fascinates me the most, I don't have to think about it. It's mystery. It's mystery. Mystery with an M, capital, I'm not with an M, with a capital M, meaning God, and then all that flows from that love for us. And in that love, great wisdom and science, especially science and nature, all part of mystery as I see it. But there's still another mystery that Jesus teaches that is somehow true, that we are all bound together. Now, we probably couldn't possibly prove that in some way. When I was assigned for over 30 years downtown at what was St. Mary Mercy Church, it's now Divine Mercy. Well, the church remains the same name, the parish is Divine Mercy. For a number of years, I had the 6:30 Mass, and we were like a family. There were bonds between us, and there's no doubt about it. It doesn't mean we were going out to dinner or things, but it meant we got together five times a week. Most of the time, everyone wasn't there every morning at 6:30 in the morning, but we were a family. There were real bonds there. And Jesus is saying that he loves all of us, not just me, not just you, but everyone I know, everyone you know, not even the ones we know, but even more than that. And so there is a sense in which this audience is bound together. Any audience is bound together by God's love. It takes a little bit of imagination. Maybe takes a whole lot of imagination. One of the powers of the soul that expresses itself through the heart and mind in order to understand how all of us can possibly be related to one another. Let's begin our Father is God. Our Father is God. And so there's no question about it, that we are all related in some sense. We will attempt to diminish that in right away, but we begin that way. Some relations, of course, are more important than others, but the most important of all is that we are all connected. Excuse me for my own beliefs. We are all connected to the heart of Christ, which nurtures, empowers our entire being. We are all connected to the heart of God. And for me, that's as a Christian. For others, it may come in another way through that manifestation of God. And if our spiritual life is to be strengthened between us, we have to find ways, work at enriching our souls, of a way of enriching the life of God within us. And how do we do that? By bringing honor and glory to God by the way we live. By the way we live. And that binds us to one another. And so there is no higher purpose in life that no matter what your vocation is from God, may be the highest human capacity to give oneself selflessly in God. The highest purpose in life is to give ourselves unselfishly to one another and to give ourselves fully to God. The story of faith and imagination is titled, Each Family is an Important Gift, and it flows a little bit from what I have just said. While Jesus stood by an olive tree, he reached out and gently touched the bark with his hand. Peter watched him and said, Master, why do you love nature so much? When you teach us various truths, such as the Father's love for us, you frequently refer to the earth, the sea, and the sky, to stones and trees and birds and so much more. Jesus smiled at Peter and said, These are all gifts given by my Father to human beings. People return his gifts and give great joy to the Father when there is caring, unity, and love in the family because of the way in which people have used them. Saying we all become a family when we use our gifts for one another. Are not caring and love the same thing? One of his disciples asked. No, Jesus answered. Each of them is a separate gift. In the same way that water is a gift to the earth and the tree is a gift to humanity. Each family is also an important gift, for it is there that each of us grows and learns how to give and how to receive. Sharing our gifts with others is as important as receiving them. My mother's love was a beautiful gift to me. She gave it freely and fully. I cannot say that she has never reprimanded me or that she has always agreed with what I have said and done, but I can say that she has never withheld her love from me. The love of a mother in her caring is as important as the love a father gives in providing for his family. The respect a father receives in being able to do this is important, and this is the way it should be if the family is to receive. To receive what? One of the disciples asked before Jesus had an opportunity to finish. Jesus said, I tell you this, without a seed from which it could grow, this tree would not be here. Without a man's seed, the soul could not be given to a mother by my Father. And there would be no life for us to care for and to love. Then Jesus smiled, looked down at the earth, bent over, grabbed a handful of dirt, and allowed it to flow slowly through his fingers. Then he said, man is like this dust. Earth gives life to a seed, but sometimes takes it away. Man gives life to a seed, but he also sometimes takes it away. When my time comes and I am no longer in your sight, I want you to remember my words. I want you to show my Father's love to others and to teach them about it. Tell them that they return the Father's love when they do what he wants them to do, when they care for one another and love one another. Let me repeat that. I want you to remember my words. I want you to show my love, my Father's love, to others and to teach them about it. Tell them that they return the Father's love when they do what he wants them to do, when they care for one another and love one another. It goes back to those opening words. Love one another as I have loved you. From John's Gospel. Many people, of course, profess their love for others, but bring only heartache and pain to those they claim to love. Yes, we are a family, but we don't always seem like a family because of that. And because of that, Jesus promises to send us a helper. We'll be celebrating the feast of Pentecost. Send us the Spirit who will give us the strength for our hearts and minds in times of trouble and need to help us cope with life. We have something to look forward to. Those gifts come all the time. But we need the gifts that God can give us. Do you want them to help this world to become a better place? To help the church to carry out its mission faithfully? We will be celebrating Pentecost, that event And since time is eternal, it's not like it's at a particular time on the calendar that God sends us the Spirit. But the Spirit is always there when we need it. And when we love, we create openings for the Spirit within which to work. And so those who live as though there is no God will not recognize the Spirit, because we are only able to see what we are prepared to see. Are you prepared tomorrow to see how God is working in your life? Are you prepared to see tomorrow and not just hear about all the terrible things that indeed are happening, but to know that God, through you, wants to reach out and help where you can? And so for John, love is the basis of everything. Love is the bond that holds everything together. What is it you want to hold together? With whom do you want to hold bonds of love together with? Because that love holds the heavens and the earth together. So it can certainly hold the things that we think are unimportant in our life. The test of our love for God then is obedience. The more we obey God, the more we will understand God, the more we will love God. And the more we love God, the more we will be blessed from the benefits of such a relationship. Pretty simple when it comes down to it, just that the emotions of life are so powerful that it's difficult for us to understand. A story of faith and imagination that talks about the importance just of memories, the kinds of things that we have been talking about tonight, memories. The gospel is not just a memory, but it is that in some sense when we make it our own, when we invest it in our hearts and our minds and our souls. It becomes a truth, but it also becomes a memory, something very important to us that we want to inspire us and strengthen us and guide us. It had been a cold and rainy night, and everyone was tired because they had gotten little sleep. And so Jesus knew his disciples would not be in the best of moods. But he also knew that when one thinks and one uses the mind, you can forget about an empty stomach and wet clothes. Jesus said, "My friends, none of us are very happy this morning. We are still tired and cold," and he's saying it with a smile on his face. "But it is good to use the mind, which is neither cold, not wet, not hungry." And the men began to laugh. And the laughter was good for them, and that's what Jesus wanted to do. And then he asked them, "What do you think about the most in life? What do you hold in your memory and why?" If he asked you that question right now, how would you answer it? What do you hold in your memory and why? Peter answered the question. He usually was the first to speak up, and he said, "I remember my mother baking bread. I am hungry now, and I think I can still smell it." Then tears seemed to form in his eyes, and he said slowly, "I remember her kindness and her gentleness." John replied, "I remember my father. Why? I guess because of his strength. He seemed so tall, and he taught me so much, even though he was with me for such a short time." "What about you, Master?" John asked. "What is it that you remember? What are the memories that you hold? Jesus thought for a moment and said, well, what comes to mind at this moment is a very old woman in our town. She was not liked very much because her mouth was strong, but she was gentle and cared for the ill and those less fortunate. She was a hard woman, a strong woman. I did not understand her then, but now I do. And the men, the disciples, each and every one of them began to tell their own story. If I had opened the phone lines tonight, would you have called and told me your story, so to speak? We might not get too many of them in because they can be so long, but what is your story? Some were painful, and others you could laugh at and find joy and happiness. Jesus said, memories are like rocks. There are many of them, and they are strong, but they still wear away with time. In later years, we see them in a new and different light. What once was vivid sometimes becomes dim in our memory. But memories and thoughts are important if one is to grow. They are like the sky, ever changing, but still the same. The disciples agreed with him, and as they looked up, the sun slowly began to warm them. And down the road came two women. They knew they were carrying fresh bread with them, and this made the disciples happy. Jesus said, remember this scene, for it gives us a good feeling. When times become difficult, call upon it. So what are the memories in your life that you can call upon whenever life becomes difficult for you? And so, as we look at science and the things are changing so rapidly, all the new inventions that from the smallest things, from glues to spacecraft, are being developed. And science is demonstrating that there is a human yearning within, I think, each and every one of us to connect with something divine. Think about it. Our fascination with some things in life is really a deeper, more spiritual part of ourselves. And this desire is awakened through the spirit, whose function is to turn stories into spiritual experience, to turn something in which we believe into something that we can feel, and into what we might term as religious awe. Just so incredibly beautiful and difficult to believe. And so ritual awakens a powerful spiritual force within each of us and connects us spiritually to one another and connects us also to God. Ritual, prayers, our religious observances free the mind from mundane matters so that we might focus more intently on God. And so we need to look at, why do we go to church? Really, why do we go to church? Are we developing a deeper spiritual appreciation, like we are in the rest of life, for the things that are spiritual? If Jesus asked you now, what do you want? What would you ask for? If we were to respond to what Jesus has taught us today, our answer should be, and it comes from our mothers, I would like to know what you want me to do, and I would like your help to do it. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone, and come back next Sunday and amplify with us.